All right, we learned that it's the first year of Koresh. I'm starting from the beginning again. It's the first year of Koresh, the king of Persia, L'chlod Dvar Hashem Yipi Yirmiyahu, when the word of God through Yirmiyahu was coming to an end. Yirmiyahu had spoken about an exile of 70 years. The end of the 70 years is beginning, and as we pointed out last week, there are going to be a number of 70 years that are going to end. 70 years from the rise of Nebuchadnezzar, 70 years from the first exile, which was 11 years before the destruction, 70 years from the destruction of the temple, and everything is going to take place in stages. In other words, the rebirth and the reconstruction of the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim is also going to take place in stages, and the stages are going to be, as we will see, a great deal longer than the time it took in our own period. And I think it's going to be important to look at it from that point of view. In other words, it's going to take 150 years, for example, until Jews become independent. Independence is only going to come in the period of the Hashmonaim. That's going to be 150 years from now. They will be going through the period of Persia, where Judea will be a vassal state. They're going to be under the benevolent heel of Persia. They will then be under the benevolent and then much less benevolent heel of Greece, until ultimately Jews are going to rebel. There are going to, therefore, we will also see during the course of Sefer Ezra, there are going to be three different edicts of permission granted. Permission is going to be granted here. The first one is by Koresh. Then there will be permission granted by Dariavesh, I believe it is. Yes, Dariavesh. And then there is going to be a permission, edit permission granted by Artaxasta. We're going to see what is added in each one of these permissions that are granted for Jews to go up to Eretz Israel. Forgive me if I make another parallel. There was the Balfour Declaration, and then there was the League of Nations, and then there was the United Nations. Differing, in a sense, permission granted by the nations of the world. And we, as we pointed out last week, the Ramban says, and I'm going to take you one fascinating step further. Here you also have to hang on. The Ramban says that the third arrival of Jews in Eretz Yisrael is going to be like the second. It is going to come with the permission granted by the nations of the world. The Ramban wrote this, I don't know, 600 years ago, 700 years ago, and that's precisely, of course, what we see in our own time. Permission was granted by the nations of the world. Yes, it is true. It is true that the nations of the world, many of them certainly regret having given. The Vilna Gaon goes one giant step further. And the Vilna Gaon says the following: Jews entered Eretz Yisrael twice. The first time, they were led by Yahushua. The first entry to Eretz Yisrael comes through Yahushua. In what way does Yahushua take possession of the land? And this we're going to see soon, what the Rambam has to say about it. Yahushua takes possession of the land through kibush, through conquest. Ezra and Nehemiah come to Eretz Yisrael, and the way in which they take possession of the land is through settlement. Through settlement. The Rambam uses the word hitnagalot, yes. They settle the land. That's how they take possession. Ezra and Nehemiah don't come and conquer the land. There is no war, there is no battle, there is no struggle. They are granted permission, and they settle the land. The Vilna Gaon said the following. He said it 200 years ago. When Jews are going to come to Eretz Yisrael for the third time, it's going to be in the way of Yahushua and in the way of Ezra and Nehemiah. They're going to have to do both. There will have to be conquest and settlement. Settlement and conquest. Now, hold on. Now hold on to you. Yahushua and Ezra and Nehemiah. We're talking about Ezra and Nehemiah. The gematria of Yahushua is 391. Shin is 300. Ayin is 70. That's 370. Yud is 380. He and Vav equals 11. That's 391. The Vilna Gaon says, you can make the cheshbon yourselves. Ezra and Nehemiah equals 391. Precisely the same as Yehoshua. So he says there is absolute equality in terms of the third entry into Eretz Yisrael. Jews are going to enter Eretz Yisrael for the third time using both the power of Yehoshua ben Nun and that which was granted to Ezra and Nehemiah. They're going to have to fight for the land and they're going to have to settle the land, and it's going to be, they will be granted permission by nations of the world to do so. Yehoshua equals Ezra and Nehemiah. So that there's a question about it, that when we're talking about Ezra and Nehemiah, we are talking about what we're learning here is going to be of tremendous contemporary significance. Yes.
It's a small difference, though.
What?
But Ezra and Nehemiah, they were still under Persia. They weren't independent the way we were.
You're right.
That's why you're right.
So on the contrary. So what you're saying is that we have been granted a great deal more. Absolutely right. So we've been granted a great deal more.
Except we haven't got the first one, did they? Have wait. The
first, okay,
more.
Wait. You, you want it? Yerushalayim wasn't built in a day. But when we're going to take a look at, for example, the description of the economy in Eretz Yisrael during the times of Ezra and Nehemiah, you're going to find out that economically, this country was in such terrible, terrible shape. Haggai is going to describe it very, very clearly. So, listen, I'm ready to say that 50 years following the establishment of the State of Israel, we're a great deal better off than America was 50 years after the Declaration of Independence. Okay?
About how many people were here in the land at the time?
It's all going to be described in this chapter. Next. If I'm already talking about Ezra and Nehemiah and Yehoshua, the Rambam says the following. The Rambam says, it's in two different places. The Rambam says, in Hilchot Trubot, the Rambam says, Kol shehechaziku oleg mitzchayim, whatever was conquered by those who came up from Mitzrayim, that's how he terms, that's how the Gemara describes the first entry into the land in the days of Yehoshua. All that was conquered by those who came up from Egypt in Itkadesh Kedusha Rishona and was sanctified with the first sanctity of Eretz Yisrael, they made the land holy in the days of Yehoshua ben Nun. Kivon Shegolu, once they went into exile, Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beth Hamikdash, Babel conquered Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael was removed. But lo Kedushatam. She Kedusha Rishona, because the first sanctity of the land, Lefi Shehaitam Mipnei HaKibush Bilvad, every word in the Rambam here is terribly important, says the Rambam, but the first conquest of the first sanctity of the land, because it was only the result of conquest, Levi Shaita Mipnei HaKibush Bilzad, because it was only the result of conquest. Kidshol Shaka became holy only for its time. Velo Kidshol Atid Lavo, that sanctity does not remain into eternity. Kivon Shol Upnei HaKibush, which means therefore, they conquered the land. With Yehoshua, they conquered the land. So now what happens when Nebuchadnezzar and Babel come and they conquer the land and take it away from us? So they have cancelled out our conquest. So the Kedusha that is the result of our conquest is cancelled out by the conquest of Babel. Yes, I'm just curious what you want.
Okay. Well, first of all, they didn't just conquer the land. They also settled.
Right.
Okay. Second of all, they were told to conquer the land.
Not the point at all. Wait, just stop one minute. Send the Rambam. We know that they settled there. They lived there for 500 years. But that's not the point. The point is the moment of sanctity. The sanctity of the land comes through kibush, through conquest in the days of Yoshua. And since it was only because of conquest, along comes a new conquest and cancels out the kedusha, the sanctity of the first conquest. Kivin Shalu B'nei Agola, when they came up in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, the people of the exile came up to Eretz Yisrael, the Hecheziku B'miktzat Haaretz, and they held on. They took possession of part of the land. Kidshua Kedusha Shnia, they sanctified the land for a second time. Ha'omedet La'olam. That sanctity of Ezra and Nehemiah remains forever, l'shatah, for its time, u'latid labo, and forever afterwards. V'hinichu otam hamekomot. Now here the Rambam is talking about the fact that those who came up from Babel did not sanctify all of Eretz Yisrael. They left certain parts of Eretz Yisrael that they didn't sanctify, so that if Jews will need fruit and produce during the Shemitah year or for the poor, they should have places nearby or close to Eretz Yisrael that don't have the holiness of Eretz Yisrael for Tumos and Mises, and from there they will be able to provide for the sustenance of the land. The Rambam now, in Hilchot Bet HaBechira, the Halachot of the Bet HaMikdash, listen to the Rambam here. Now, obviously the problem that already should be troubling you, and it's going to become even sharper here, is it seems that settlement is stronger than conquest. The conquest of Yehoshua, through which Yehoshua sanctified the land, that ended. That was over. Along came Babel. Babylon crushed thee, and therefore Babylon canceled out the conquest and the Kiddush of Eretz Yisrael. But settlement, a few Jews came to Eretz Yisrael and they settled the land, and that sanctity remains for all time. So why is settlement better than conquest? And what happens when the second Beit HaMikdash is destroyed and Jews are exiled from the land again? So what happened to the settlement? So the settlement also has gone and disappeared. Second Rambam. The Rambam says that the Yerushalayim and the Beit HaMikdash, Yerushalayim and Beit HaMikdash remain holy forever. Therefore, lefichach, makriven ha-korbanot kulam, sacrifices can be brought up al-pi she'en sham bayit banui. Even if there is no Beit HaMikdash, you can bring sacrifices on the place of the Beit HaMikdash. Let's assume, of course, if police will allow you up to the Har HaBayit. All right, but we can't go up to the Har HaBayit anyway. We can't make korbanos for other reasons. Ba'ochlin kot shei kadoshim, you can eat from the Holy of Holies, those sacrifices that are holy, b'chol ha'azara, in the entire area that was once the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash. Sha'akedusha harishona, because the first sanctity of the land, kitshol shata, the kitshol osed lover, became holy for its time and for all time. Wait a minute, the Rambam before, the previous Rambam we learned, said that the first sanctity was cancelled out. Now the Rambam is saying that the first sanctity is holy for all time. But what's the Rambam talking about over here? Here the Rambam is talking about Yerushalayim and the Beit HaMikdash. So the Rambam knows what's bothering you. So the next Rambam, he says, V'loma ani omer. And why do I say, Bamigdash v'Yerushalayim, why do I say with regard to the Beit HaMikdash and Yerushalayim, Kedusha Rishona Kitshala Atid Lavov? Why do I say with regard to the Beit HaMikdash and Yerushalayim that it becomes holy for all time? And by the way, there's going to be a ceremony in Sefer Ezra that's going to describe the sanctification of Yerushalayim. And the Gemara says that it was no more than a ceremony. Halachically, it was unnecessary. The Gemara says that the ceremony that Ezra is going to perform is no more than a ceremony. Because the halach is the following. There are laws with regard to Yerushalayim. And Bedin, the Sanhedrin, has the right to extend the halachic sanctified boundaries of Yerushalayim. But there are all sorts of sacrifices that have to be brought. For example, soon the Beit HaMikdash will be rebuilt. We will be able to eat Korban Pesach, the Paschal Lamb, within the confines of Yerushalayim. What are the confines of Yerushalayim? Pesach is going to have to describe and define for us what are the parameters of Yerushalayim. Right now, we assume that the parameters are the Chomot Ha'ir, the walls of the Old City. But now back to the Rambam. Lomani Yoma, why do I say that Mikdash in Yerushalayim with regard to the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, Kedusha Rishona, Kitzol Osid Lava, the first sanctity is for all time? Ubi Kedushat Shad Eretz Yisrael, and with regard to the sanctity of the rest of Eretz Yisrael, with regard to Shemitah and Maisa, the Chayotzaban, I said that the first sanctity, Lo Kitzolah Atid Lava, did not become holy for all time. What's the difference? Says the Rambam, you know, there's a big difference. Lufi Shekedushat HaMikdash v'Yerushalayim, the sanctity of the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim is mipnei HaShechina, because of the divine presence. U'shechina eino b'telo. Nobody removes the divine presence from Yerushalayim. Not Nebuchadnezzar, not Titus, neither Babel, nor Persia, nor Greece, nor Rome. Nobody removes the divine presence from Yerushalayim. Lufi Shekedushat HaMikdash v'Yerushalayim mipnei HaShechina. The sanctity of the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim is because of the divine presence of Shechinah and Betela, and Shechinah is not removed. V'harehu Omer, Pasuk in Parshas V'chukosai, in the Tochach it says, V'hashimoti et Mikdashechem, I will make desolate your holy places. V'omru Chachomim, our rabbi said, Aval pi sheshimumin, though they are desolate, V'kedushatan ein omdim, they remain holy. V'hashimoti, I will make desolate your holy places. Even though they are desolate, they remain holy. The holiness is intact. Because the holiness is the result of Shekhinah, and nobody can remove the divine presence from the Beit HaMikdash or Yerushalayim. Aval chiyuv ha'aretz b'shviyatu masrot, but the obligation upon the land, with regard to Shemitah and Maisa, Ela Einu Ela Bnei Shul Kibush Rabbimit, because it is the conquest of the community. We conquered it. The Kibush Shenil Chaharetz Miyadeyem, once the land was taken from their hands, Batal HaKibush. The conquest is over. Canceled out. The conquest of Yahushua is meaningless in the face of the hordes of Babel who have now conquered the land. V'niftarem anatarom imasotu mishviyat. It's no longer, there's no halacha of Maisa or Shemitah Shahadei Enom in Eretz Yisrael. It's not considered Eretz Yisrael in that sense. V'kivon she'olah Ezra v'kidshah. But when Ezra came up and he sanctified the land, lo kidshah b'kibush, he did not sanctify the land with conquest. Ela b'chazakah she'hechazikubah. He sanctified the land by the fact that they settled and held on to it. U'lefichah, therefore, any place that was settled by those who came up from Babel, and was sanctified through Ezra's Kedusha, which was the second sanctification of the land, is holy today. Even though the land was taken from us with the Roman conquest, and it's obligated in Shviat and Masra. So the Rambam does differentiate for us, but he doesn't really explain. I get this feeling as sort of we're left with, you know, hanging. We're left in suspension. Because all that the Rambam says is that, listen, the conquest of Babel cancels out the conquest of Yahushua. But in the days of Ezra, they didn't conquer the land. They sanctified it through settlement. And even though the land was taken from us, Kedusha remains. What does the Rambam mean? What does the Rambam mean? There are a number. Go ahead. You want to try? Yeah, good. By the way, I'm going to want your tape. I'm going to take your tape.
It's a long tape. It'll last the whole show.
Good. Go ahead.
If the way they sanctified the land, not Yerushalayim, was by settling it.
Yes.
So that means that they didn't settle parts of the land.
That's right. No.
But we have probably settled all those parts of the land by now. Did they Did they become sanctified?
As far as halacha today is concerned, only that which was sanctified by Ole Ezra, Ole Babel, is holy today.
Do we know?
If I go into that, we'll use two of your takes, five of your takes, because there are all sorts of questions. Gush Katif,
right.
Is Gush Katif part of the sanctity of Ezra or not? Emek Beit Shan, according to the Gemara, Emek Beit Shan was not sanctified. What about the Golan? There are so many questions, and there are so many approaches. We will never kriech out of Ezra.
What about Yerushalayim? Because the Beit HaMikdash, the Aron, was not in Yerushalayim from the time of
Just hang in. Everything that you want to know, everything you're asking is good. Just settle back. Go ahead.
Now, why is it told that there was a difference, though, in the sanctity between the first Beit HaMikdash and the second, and please God, in the third that is coming soon? What is this difference and why? Secondly,
the difference, though, that was pretty clear. The difference is that Ezra had to sanctify it all over again.
So
he had to sanctify the land.
That makes a difference in the Shekhinah and the presence.
Not Yerushalayim.
No,
not Yerushalayim. The land.
The
land.
Tismichi
alai. Just have trust me for a few minutes that I will take care of all of your questions. I want to guess that I'm going to take care of them all. Yes.
The first one was canceled out.
Yes.
Why was it necessary to have it in the first place?
Okay. Because there are many mitzvahs in Torah, many parashot in Torah which begin with Ki Tavohu in El Haaretz. When you come to the land is going to be holy, and there are going to be all sorts of mitzvot hatuliyot baharetz, mitzvot that are part of the land. And in order for the land to have mitzvot on it, it must be a holy land. Just give me a few minutes. Sit back, relax, and give me a few minutes. One of the two approaches are going to be Rav Soloveitchik Zech and Tzadik Levracha. One approach is going to be Tzolanga Yavin Gold.
Good. Gold.
The Rav says the following. He says, the reason why the settlement of Ezra was stronger and more powerful than the conquest of Yahushua, that the settlement of Ezra and Nehemiah created sanctity in the land that exists until this very day and will exist into eternity. And the conquest of Yahushua ended with the conquest by Babel, is because there was a difference in the way in which Ezra and Nehemiah sanctified the land and the way in which Ezra, beyond the conquest of the settlement. Yahushua began, anybody who's going to study Sefer Yeshua knows that the conquest is going to begin, but we all know that the conquest begins with what? Yericho. From Yericho they go to Ai. You follow through chapter after chapter in Yahushua. Yahushua is going to do battle with the kings of the south. And then he's going to move from the south, Hebron, Beersheba, he's going to move to the coast, to Plishtim. He's going to start moving up along the coast, and there will be battles with the kings of the Shvelah. And then there's going to be a major struggle with the kings of the north. He begins from the periphery and he goes all around Eretz Yisrael. And more than incidentally, it's going to take 350 years until they get to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is not conquered until the days of David. 350 years. David is the one who's going to say, Kol Make Yevusi, whoever is going to smite the Yevusi, the Jebusites, the ones who held Yerushalayim. You'll go through all of Sefer Shoftim, Yerushalayim doesn't count. You're going to go through most half of Sefer Shmuel. There's no Shiloh, Gibeon. The Aron Kodesh is all over. It's moving from one place to the next. hundreds of years in Shiloh, 20 years the Arun is in Kiryat Yarim and other places. It hasn't arrived at Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim hasn't even conquered yet. Yerushalayim is conquered and sanctified in the days of David, and the Beis HaMikdash is built by Shlomo HaMelech. And that's when Shekhinah comes to Yerushalayim and Beit HaMikdash. When Ezra and Nehemiah go on Aliyah, the Olei Babel, where do they go to? They go directly to the center, to Yerushalayim, and from Yerushalayim they're going to start spreading out to the suburbs of Yerushalayim, to Yehuda. Which means it's like the center of the wheel with the spokes going outward. Which means that you know what Ezra is going to be doing? He's going to be taking the Kedusha of Mikdash and Yerushalayim and spreading it through Eretz Yisrael. And Kedusha Mikdash Yerushalayim is because of the Divine Presence. And that Kedusha is never, never removed. That's one approach of the Hav. There is a second approach of Rav Soloveitchik. When we say that Ezra sanctified the land, well, what do you mean he sanctified? What do you mean he sanctified the land? How did he sanctify the land? What was the instrument of Kedusha? What does it mean, you sanctify the land? He says, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. What does he do? Says the Rav, the instrument, the manner by which the base, the Eretz Yisrael becomes Kadosh is through the Aron. You'll read the beginning of Yehoshua, and you'll find that our Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Yehoshua that the first ones who are to walk into the Jordan while the river is flowing are the Kohanim who are holding the Aron Kodesh. And as they step with the Aron Kodesh into the waters, the raging waters of Nisan, of the Jordan, the water is going to stop, the Jordan is going to dry up, all of the people are going to enter the land, and then you're going to cross into the land. The first conquest, the conquest of Jericho, they march around the city seven times. Who's leading the march? The Aron. The Ark is leading the march. The instrument by which he is Mekadesh Eretz Yisrael is the Ark. Now, if that is the instrument by which it's going to be sanctified, then it means the following. First, the Rav says a very, very beautiful pshat in Psukim that we know. Vayihi bin Soa ha'oron, as Jews are getting ready to go to Eretz Yisrael in Parsha Bahalotcha, the famous Psukim, Vayihi bin Soa ha'oron, when the Oron began to journey, by Yom Moshe, Moshe said, Kuma Hashem, arise, O God, your futso, your vecho, and your enemies shall be dispersed. V'yonusu misanecho mifanecho, and those who hate you shall flee before you. Uvenucha yomar, and when the Aron came to rest, what did Moshe say? Shuvo Hashem rivvot alfei Yisrael. The Bnei Shalom, bring back the tens of thousands and thousands of Israel. Rivvot and alfei. Says the Rav the following. Vayihi bin Soa ha'aron, the journeying Aron was the instrument with which Eretz Yisrael was conquered in the days of Yehoshua. The Aron went out to battle before them. But in that sanctity that is the result of Aron, there is a condition. Moshe conditions it because he says, Vayihi bin Soa ha'aron, the journeying Aron, which represents conquest, that journeying Aron is able to sanctify the land as long as Kum Hashem v'yafutzu ayevecho, if the enemy is dispersed and those who hate you flee before you, then there is sanctity. But what happens if the enemy prevails? What happens if the enemy is going to vanquish and destroy and conquer? Then that sanctity no longer exists. But uvenucha yomar, when the Aron is at rest, then do you know how it sanctifies Eretz Yisrael? The Aron at rest sanctifies Eretz Yisrael as long as Shuba Rivvot Alfei Yisrael. Tens of thousands of Jews come back. There is a power that is vested in the journeying ark, and there is a greater power that is vested in the ark that is at rest. The Kedusha of Yahushua was through a journeying ark. The Kedusha of Yahushua, of Ezra is going to be through an ark that is b'menucha, at rest. Because as we said in the first shot, where does he come to? Where is the first settlement to take place in Yerushalayim? Where is the Aron? You know where the Aron is? The Haman says, in the days of Yoshiyahu, king of Yehuda, 100 years before, 50 years before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, Yoshiyahu was afraid that Yerushalayim might fall and the Aron may be taken. So he deposited the Aron in a place that had been prepared for it by Shlomo HaMelech, b'matmoniyot akalkaliyot. There are all sorts of hidden passageways deep, deep below the Temple Mount. And that's where Yoshiyahu put the Aron. That means when Ezra comes back to Eretz Yisrael, what is the instrument of his Kedusha? An Aron that is at rest. Uvenucha yomar. If it is an Aron that is at rest, all you need is tens of thousands of Jews to return. And the Kedusha is Kedush Kalashra. Gold. Now, we're coming to gold. The others were pure salivation. And I'm just a small little guy. The Rambam does, of all things, I told you all to have a Tanakh over here, and I forgot my Tanakh at home today. How do you like that? I forgot a lot of things at home today. I'm happy I brought my head with me. So I'll tell you something. It's the Sifra, the Toras Kohanim, in Parashat Bechukotai, which says the following. In the middle of the Tochacha, the terrible curses in Parashat Bechukotai, so it says the following. I'm going to make the land desolate. V'shomimu aleha oyevechem. Your enemies will be desolate in the land. Hayoshvim bo, those who live in the land. Rashi, the Ramban, they both bring the Sifra, the Toras Kohanim, that says the following. This is besod al Yisrael. This is good news. In middle of the Tochacha, we have good news. The good news is that any enemy who will want to settle the land is going to fail. The Shalomu Aleha Oyevechem, your enemies, Hayosu, but that live in the land, will never be able to settle the land. And the Ramban, of course, waxes very passionate when he talks about it. He said it 600-700 years ago. We can, of course, say it now with even with real knowledge, that what Chazal said was true. In other words, I always wondered, Rashi says on this pasuk, that no enemy will ever be able to settle the land. I mean, wasn't Rashi worried when he wrote it 900 years ago, that, 300-400 years down the line, the Japanese will settle Eretz Yisrael, and VCRs will be growing in every backyard. I mean, some industrious people will come, and they're going to take the land in hand, and they're going to make it into a fruitful land. Rashi wasn't worried for a moment. He didn't break out in a cold sweat. Neither did the Ramban. The Ramban goes on further to say his famous statement, where the sanctity is greater, the desolation is even greater than that. He said, never was there a land in the world that was as fruitful as Eretz Yisrael, and nowhere else in the world is there a land now that is as desolate, the Ramban wrote in his time. I've mentioned the number, anybody who read Mark Twain's description of Eretz Yisrael over 100 years ago, 120 years ago when he came here. That's one of those things, before I read Mark Twain, I have to have, you know, two bottles of May Eden with me, because he describes how dry and arid and nothing is growing and it's so hot and you feel like you're in the middle of the Sahara Desert. I have to take a cold drink of water just to be able to read through Mark Twain. And Mark Twain gives us a real description of what Eretz Yisrael was like. Strangely enough, at the beginning of this century, the land all of a sudden began to respond. To whom did the land respond? The land responded to Jewish heads. Do you know what it means? It means that the land remained absolutely faithful to the Jewish people, maybe even more faithful than we remain to the land. It would not give out its fruit to any other people. One of the Amoraim came to Eretz Yisrael once and he saw that there something was growing. So he said, Eretz Chatzufa, land with such chutzpah, what are you giving out your fruit for these goyim over here? And the fact is that the land never, never was able to provide for any population. The only time that the land began to give out its produce has been in this century. So what the Rashi, Ramban, the Sifra, the Torah Kahanim, what the Pasuk says, the Shomu Aleho Yevechem, your enemies who live in the land will be desolate, it's absolutely true, and we're the living witnesses. We know that it's so. What was said so long ago, we know that it's absolutely true. That, of course, is the basis, and this I've said in many other shiurim, this is the basis, of course, for the whole approach to Eretz Yisrael in our time of Rav Kook, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, where the Gemara, the famous Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, where the Gemara says, Ein l'cho keitz megula mizu, there is no greater revealed end of days than this. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yechezkel, Va'atem Horei Yisrael, you mountains of Israel, Anvechem Titenu, give out your branches, Uferichem Tisu, and carry your fruits, La'ami Yisrael, for my people Israel, Ki kervu lavo, because the time of their coming is drawing close. The land is going to prepare itself in advance and be ready to sustain a population. Listen, I can say it in my own time. In my own time. I learned in Yeshiva here in Eretz Yisrael in the 50s. Did I ever describe to you one of the first things I was taught? I went to Ponevish. So the major food staple at the time was a tomato. And one of the brachim in the yeshiva, he saw him an Americaner. You know, you have to teach these Americaners something. So he explains to me, Hagvaniyat ze steak. So you have to know how to eat it. And he cut it for me and he showed me these are the bones of the steak. And this is the basar of the steak. And he described to me a tomato in a way that I had never understood the tomato before. By the way, after I came back, well, it was a year and a half, 2 years learning it out, so I couldn't eat a tomato for about 20 years after that. I've gotten back to them. And then, it was then, yeshiva, they used to give, I think, about an ounce of meat every week, and twice a week we had meatballs. What do you do with an ounce of meat? So they mixed a lot of challah with it. So they used to say in the yeshiva, that's the pshat in benching. At the beginning of benching, we say, who knows saying lechem l'chol basar? God gives a lot of bread into all of the meat. And those were the meatballs that we had. I remember seeing the first apples that appeared on the stands over here. No self-respecting American would call it an apple. No self-respecting apple would call it an apple, but Israelis called it an apple. So in a matter of 40 years, dramatic change. So therefore, I say the following. Yehoshua sanctified the land through conquest. Along came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, and he canceled out that Kedusha through his conquest, because conquest can cancel out conquest. If conquest cancels out conquest, what should cancel out settlement? Settlement! But if nobody can ever settle the land, if the Pasuk in Torah says, Vahashivoti,
The land, the Shamamo Allah, Ayyavech, and your enemies on the land will be desolate, and no people will be able to settle it, so that means there is no settlement that can undo any previous settlement. So therefore, the Kedusha of Ezra remains forever.
People
settled the land, but nobody established a country here. Nobody was able to sustain a population here. Take a look at simple history. I'm not making anything up. There were no people that ever established themselves here. The Crusaders couldn't make it. Nobody made it. They all left some Alanclaver. No one single people has settled this land. The only people who settled the land, that the land has responded to them throughout all of history. And even if it wouldn't be history, I would believe it because Rashi said it. And because the Torah's Kahanim said, and because the Pasuk in Torah says, "V'shamamu alav yevekam ayoshibar," I'm going to make a prediction. The Palestinians will never establish themselves in this land because the Pasuk in Torah says no. And Imam in Vemuna Shlema, that the Pasuk in Torah is infinitely more powerful than any agreements that you can sign. They will never make it. It's not possible. It can't be. V'shamamu alav yevekam ayoshibar. Your enemies are living in this Pasuk in Torah. And a Pasuk in Torah to me is the Holy of Holies. It stands higher than anything else. And this is a Pasuk that has proven itself in 2,000 years. No people settled this land and remained here. You had Bedouins. You had a few guys that were living here or living there. The only ones who established themselves here throughout all of history were Jews. That's all. Nobody else. Nobody else ever made it. So therefore I say, conquest cancels conquest. So what should cancel settlement? Settlement. But there is no other settlement. There can't be any other settlement. Torah says there is no other settlement. Therefore the Kedusha of Ezra is the Kedusha Shnia, and the second sanctity of Eretz Yisrael remains for all time. So we have the three approaches. Approach one of the Rav, that Yehoshua's conquest started from the periphery, and it took 350 years until they came to Yerushalayim. And when they established the sanctity of Yerushalayim and the Beit HaMikdash, that was because of Shekhinah, and the divine presence is never removed. When Ezra comes up, he's going to go straight to Yerushalayim. It's going to begin from Yerushalayim. That was one. Number two was the instrument of sanctity was the Aron. And there are two ways by which the Aron create sanctity, either through conquest, an Aron that is Noseya, or an Aron that's B'menucha. Yehoshua used an Aron HaNoseya, a journeying Aron, and it was Ezra who used the Aron that was B'menucha, that was at rest down there in the bowels of the Har HaBayit, exactly where Yehoshua put it, and it's still there. The Rambam says that that's Halacha in the Rambam. Says it's there, it's there. Don't tell me where any ox are. I know where the ark is, because the Rambam says where it is. That's all. Raiders, Schmaders. We know the yuk where the Aron is. And then the third humble pshat of gold. Since there can't be a settlement, no other people can settle the land, then the settlement of Ezra and Nehemiah was that which gave the land its sanctity.
Because I used your Tanakh, I can ask you a question. What do you want to ask?
That's a very good question to ask. I'll tell you what her question is. She's confused about the concept of Kedusha. Because the land is Kadosh. It was Kadosh all the way from the beginning of time. So you're right. All the portion. Everybody says there are two kinds of Kedusha to Eretz Yisrael. There is